mostly know each other, but I'll start. Michael Slater, Chair of the Climate Change and Environment Scrutiny Committee and Councillor for Horning Low and Outwards Ward.
Don't say which ward.
I beg your pardon, okay. Thank you. Don't say which ward, people just say your name. Don't say which ward you're from, you don't need to do that, apparently. Is it? Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Right, I beg your pardon. There you go. Who's going to go next? Thank you.
Councillor Vicky Gould.
Councillor Bev Ashcroft.
Jenna Bailey.
Mm-hmm. Councillor Dennis Fletcher.
Councillor Michael.
Thanks, Chair. And from an office perspective, I'm James Abbott. I'm the Corporate and Commercial Manager here to support the Chair and support the committee. I look after the elections team, the Democratic Services team, and our programmes and transformation team who deal with a host of different services.
Thank you. My name is Sean Loughran. I'm one of the Programme and Transformation Officers. I've been with the Council for 9 months now, but my main role so far have involved the production of the corporate plan, which obviously leads on to the performance monitoring, which I'll present tonight. I'm also involved in business transformation projects, along with procurement, etc.
Thank you.
Monica Henchcliffe, the committee.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Right. I'm going to make a few introductory remarks. First of all, as you've probably already gathered, I am apprehensive. I'm apprehensive about chairing a committee as important as this, because I've not done that sort of thing before. I'm sure if I make mistakes, you'll put me right or give me guidance. I'm grateful for the support I've got on my left here. But more than that, I'm really apprehensive about the scope and breadth and urgency of the task before us. Okay, the climate change is a real thing, it's going to affect people. We've got a duty to hold the council to account for its actions or not. More than that, we've got to have some kind of positive impact. So I hope I can depend on everybody here to help meet that general sort of aim, that important aim that we've got. So, with no further ado, we will start with item one, to receive apologies.
We have apologies from Councillor Jones.
Thank you very much. Are there, item two, are there declarations of interests? Anyone got a declaration to make? No? Thank you. Item three, appointment of vice chair. To request nominations to be vice chair for the ensuing year. I'm going to nominate Councillor Huckabee. That's okay. Is anyone second Councillor Huckabee?
Yes. Second.
Thank you. Is there any other nominations, please? Mm-hmm. No. Thank you. We put that to the vote?
Yes.
Okay. All those in favour of Councillor Huckabee being vice chair? Thank you.
You're allowed to vote for yourself, I think.
Thank you, gentlemen. Right. Any abstentions? No one here to abstain, was there? I think that was everybody wanted. But any abstentions? Well, you, in fact. Thank you. I'll take it. Councillor Huckabee is abstaining. Thank you. No, not at all. Thank you. Item four, urgent business. To consider urgent business brought forward to the Scrutiny, Climate Change and Environment Committee under Rule 12. Any urgent business?
There are no declarations. There are no urgent business, Chairman.
No business. Thank you. Right then. Item five. We're very fortunate this evening to have Councillor Fletcher with us, Cabinet Member for Climate Change and Environment, who's going to give us a brief overview of his priorities, I believe. Carry on, yeah. Councillor Fletcher. Thank you.
Well, somebody who's apprehensive about it is a very good start there.
Thank you.
Has gone. Michael invited me when he was first appointed as chair of the scrutiny committee way back in May. He would come along and talk about my priorities. So I was quite surprised to see that I was doing a presentation. If you want a presentation at any time, I quite like doing presentations. I'm all being more than happy to do one. But give me a bit of time in the job before you ask for that. So, I do have a dream. It's not the Martin Luther King dream, although I have that dream as well. My dream is that East Staffordshire should be the first carbon neutral borough in Britain. Is it achievable? I don't know. I don't know what other towns are doing. I don't know how far they are on the lines, but wouldn't it be wonderful to be that first one, to set the example and have people coming along and saying, how do you do it? We are supposed to be a carbon neutral council by 2040 and carbon neutral borough by 2050. That's the government's targets that they set for us. I would like us to be carbon neutral by 2030 and carbon neutral borough by 2040. I'm not going to suggest for one moment they become the actual targets, but the team, the environment team, are well aware of that ambition, and we will work towards it. They are more ambitious than the current action plan, but I'd sooner miss out on these targets by 7 years than by the target we set by 1 year. You know, there's more scope for us to not be totally successful if we met a more challenging target. The recent catastrophes around the world, I mean, it's not just only this year, it's been previous years, all over the globe. If anybody's not aware of the effects of man's actions on climate change by now, then they must be living in a different world to me. So what are my priorities? My priorities will be carbon reduction. Not necessarily in this order. Carbon capture. And from what I've said before, it's my hope to get us with the carbon capture is greater than the carbon reduction and the carbon capture. The carbon capture is such that we actually don't go net zero, but become net positive by 2040. Other priorities, biodiversity and nature recapture. Climate change adaptation. I'm told that that's often neglected when considering climate change. But we also need to look at the opportunities, because although it's doom and gloom, climate change, there are opportunities presented by that. Opportunities for economic development, investment in green technology, in solar panels, air source and ground source, heat pumps. And also, one of my priorities is minimising waste pollution. Now, I sort of put these together fairly quickly, and I'm sure there are other priorities that you will have, and I'll be happy for you to voice over to me to add to mine. But those are my immediate priorities. Becoming carbon neutral, it's very challenging, but climate change affects everybody. It affects the rich, the poor, the old, the young, everybody. But one thing that we do all know is the poor are going to be affected by far more than the rich. Rich countries will be far less hit than the poorest countries. And I guess in the same way, the old will be affected far more than young people. But it's the young people we need to get on board, because it's their future we're trying to save. And I'm hoping that the young people of today, who seem to be very climate aware, will do a better job of it than my generation ever did. So who should be involved? Well, everybody should be involved in it. Individuals have their part to play. Schools have their part to play. Organisations, non-profit-making and profit-making organisations, have their part to play. Parish councils have their part to play. The borough council obviously has its part to play, and the county council as well. Can I hand those around? Because that, what more or less what I've said is on there. So if you want to think about it. I want everybody to be involved in consultation, because if we're going to engage with young people, I know that in Winsel I shall visit schools and talk to their pupils about climate awareness. I'm sure some of them will tell me things that I don't know. Seeking and using their ideas, perhaps forming a citizens' panel, I don't know. Consulting with the general public, websites, press releases, citizens' panel. And some of the things we've got to do, and which are already planned to be done. And forgive me, but this topic is not a political topic. It's all parties should be on board for this. And to help that along the way, I will pay tribute to some of the work that was done by the previous administration. We think, obviously, that they could have gone further, and we want to go further. And I hope I know that we supported their positive actions on environment, and I'm hoping that they will do the same for us. Things we've got to do, and the plans have been done. Energy audit of the council's buildings. I think at the moment they're seeking quotes to procure a group to come and do that for us. Upgrading our action plan, that's happening very soon. Municipally on our manifesto, a municipally owned energy company, that's a bit more problematic. Maybe there may need to be interim measures of perhaps cooperatives or working with other boroughs. I know we're looking at ways of achieving that. Greener council property, solar panels on council-owned heat pumps, wind farms, solar farms, electric charging pumps, new electric council vehicles, encourage new green technology, beat the cold initiatives, Staffordshire Warmer Homes is one, which we should take part in. Open spaces and carbon capture. We're already putting in no-mow areas in the park. I say no-mow. No-mow except for the mown paths to go through them. And that, as in Horninglow, I think they've just had some tree planting in Horninglow, and they left a no-mow area which is fronted by wildflowers. But through the no-mow area there's a path, which means that the public going by won't think, oh, that's just been left and nobody's interested. If you mow paths through, it shows that it's there deliberately and it's there to capture carbon. Housing development, I've read this from somewhere else, so we ensure that all our passive house standard, which I'm told is reducing the need for conventional heating. Environmental crime, tackle fly tipping, education through roadstone, encouraging the whistleblowing by the public, removing fly tipping quickly. I think we've got an electric vehicle that's all geared up to do that already. Weed control. Mike posed this problem to me. Getting rid of glyphosate. There are arguments for and against glyphosate at the moment, and it's not quite clear what it is, but we've got choices. We either live with the weeds, we sow wildflowers to outcompete the weeds, mass the weeds, we mulch them, remove them by hand by mechanical means, spray with non-toxic solutions. So those are all the things we can do, but when it comes to meet up with involving individual schools and other organisations, I've asked the environment team to, there's a chart, have you all got one now? Have you all been given one? With the bottom about who, what and how we can support it. I mean, obviously that's not been filled in. I mean, immediately the thing you could say for schools is do your environmental audit to start with. But there are lots of other things schools can do. That should be there. How can we, as a council, support them? How can we involve parish councils? Well, I think the first thing that parish councils could do to get involved would be to join in Bloom, and I'm pleased that Horninglow have already expressed a desire to join in Bloom. Because I can assure you that as a result of Winsel being in Bloom for the last 12 years, Winsel is far more environmentally friendly than it was 12 years ago. That's really all I've got to say. I'm happy to take any questions. Just bear in mind, I am still a new boy, and if I don't know the answer, I'll find it out. Thank you for listening, and thank you for inviting me.
Thank you, Councillor Fletcher. That was splendid. That was indeed. I'm going to say one thing before I open to the discussion for everybody else. I heard recently the phrase that all policy decisions should be viewed through the lens of climate change. And certainly, in my brief time in the council, every other committee I'm a member of or involved with, every meeting I've been to, there's a climate change aspect of all of that. And I would urge everybody to bring your positive environmental viewpoints to all the other committees you deal with. Certainly on planning, there's loads of stuff we can do there, but I think everywhere else we're the same. I will now invite members of the committee to ask councillors quick questions.
And please feel free also to just offer ideas. One of my jobs is to collect ideas.
Dennis and I have worked together for a long time. That's a really extensive list and probably one that I agree mostly on as well. You know, there's so much on there, Dennis, isn't there? It's a really big ask. The dates set by government really worry me. I'd like to say we could go and do it earlier, but realistically, I think because of the regulations around planning which come into it and everything, we're going to struggle. But I'd like to aim, like you, I'd like to go earlier, but I think we're going to struggle for it. My other issue, well, it's not an issue, is the energy companies, public-owned energy companies. I think a car went by. It was the third thing you mentioned when you were on about your energies.
That was part of our manifesto commitment to become the council's own energy company.
Yeah, I think that needs looking at, because a lot of research that I've looked at, it's only brief, say that a lot of councils that have gone down that route have gone, you know, they've lost a lot of money and those companies have gone bust. So that's just something I think we might need to look at. Just going down that route. But besides that, I think it's a really good extensive list. Thank you.
Anybody? Please do, Dennis. Yes. Carry on.
Whatever ideas you've got, there are costs involved, and people are going to inevitably say, can we afford it? My answer to that would be, can we afford not to do it?
Thank you. Right. Any more comments or questions, please? Councillor Huckabee, please.
I agree that looking through our manifesto and looking through all the other departments and police staffs, this is probably the most important committee, regardless of any other considerations.
And the most exciting.
It is implicit in on everything that we do. I believe there's a policy review of the climate change document due in August.
Yes.
The old one is based on information and data that is probably a decade out of date. There seems to be a continuing acceleration of the pressures that have been exerted on us to preserve the civilization that we have. And it does seem that an update once every 12 months really is too languid, and it needs to be done far more often than that. The problem there is resource. And you can have a guy sitting there researching it most of the time. But I would think we need an update every quarter perhaps. And we've seen the background recent months.
People talk about that this is going to affect third world countries. Documents and data exist to show that Western Europe is heating far quicker than a lot of other places in the world. And we can see this by the southern Mediterranean heat wave that they're experiencing. But there's other things as well. It's so complicated and it's so intertwined. In 2026, we're going to see a continuous breach of the 1.5 degrees C global warming temperature rise. So 1.5 was always the target figure to stay within. That's gone by the board. We're going to exceed that come 2026. And what is being thought is that it's going to trigger aspects interacting, tipping points that are obvious to us now, but we just don't know what's going to happen when these come together. So when we talk about what time we've got, 2050, 2040, 2030, some places it's happening already. The Arab Spring across the north coast of the African continent onto the Mediterranean. Everybody thinks it's political, but behind it all was food prices, was heat increase, inability to work properly, inability to be effective or productive. This brings on a whole host of anxieties in people, which result in violence if it gets too bad. And that was that. So when we come to looking at the milestones, you might say, of these things, they're not really of interest. The path is already set, and a government saying by 2050 we've got to do this and by that. It's nonsense to think in those terms. We have to think in terms of being far more closer to the footpaths, even. To use a phrase that I'm getting in trouble with at the moment.
Forgive me a minute, if I summarise then. So I think we can all agree with what you've just said. I think that's a good analysis. In the short term, we should be reviewing our action plan more frequently. That's your opinion, isn't it?
Yeah.
And quarterly would be a good idea. I've got to show people now. The action plan is the one. Is that the same document? I've got Appendix 2 action plan here on the website. Is that the same one we're talking about?
That's
Appendix 2, because that's all I could find. Yeah. So
there's the general policy, and then there's just the action.
Yeah, cool. Yes, please. That's the idea.
The truth of the matter is, the longer we take to reach net zero, the greater the problem becomes for recovery. You know, what starts off, if you mean net zero by 2050, that's not over. We've still got to recover, because the position we'll be in at that point will be too dire for some countries, some people. And the recovery, if you mean by, is a graph like that. If you leave it to 2060, it becomes steeper, you know, further. But the recovery time is longer. And so as you get, there is a tipping point, they think, where it's not possible to recover. Now that's theoretical, and nobody knows for sure where that tipping point is, if there is a tipping point. But I'm not prepared to risk it. The action plan review, once a year, I mean, to do a complete review every year is a good idea. But yes, I agree with you, we could review it every 3 months. You know, I'm sure all the time that's being reviewed anyway. And we could come each time with reports where people can feedback and maybe add to the review.
Yeah. Thank you.
I've noted that.
Forgive me if I ask James this question. I understand there's two climate change adaptation offices in the council. Is that correct? Or there more? I'm just wondering how many staff we've got available to help with this. So
we've got John T there.
Yep.
Sharon Walker, who did the presentation. We've got Rachel Little, and we've got Mark. Jeffrey. Are there others, I'm sure?
I don't know. That's what I'm asking. I mean, you've named the key officers there. I think, you know, we can obviously
you know, confirm exactly what's what, but I mean, there are a wider team around those offices which there may be crossover, you know, sort of multidisciplinary kind of approaches. But we can confirm the details on that, certainly.
Right, and we've got the capacity. Have the council got the capacity to produce a quarterly report or a quarterly summary?
You've not got stuff to do exactly.
You've
that.
Got that way, haven't you?
Yeah. I mean, I've only known them for 2 months, and I am absolutely impressed by what they do. You ask a question and the answer comes back almost immediately. You pose a problem and you get, I'll give you an example. We had a meeting, an update, and notes were taken, and within half an hour of the meeting I had a report back. Four pages long, and it's like that. So, yeah, they'll cope with that, I can tell you.
Okay.
So, Chair, if I may, I mean, some of these questions that are being asked, I think, you know, these are questions that would be, in terms of resourcing, you know, we'd need input from the operational managers, for example, on that. But some of these things that we're talking about might be things that you want to consider in the reviews that you do or the work that this committee does. So that these, you might want to sort of hang on to some of these thoughts that have been had around, you know, resourcing as one example. So when we get into the conversation around work programme and what we do next as a committee, because these are questions that are probably worth, you know, looking into a little bit further, you know, with Dennis's and the operational managers' support.
Right, okay. I mean we've already got a document, haven't we, already? We've already got targets and an action plan. So, forgive me, James, other than ask you to produce this, what more do we need to talk about? Answer. Tell me the answer to that, please. What else do we need?
In terms of this?
Yeah, I think the question basically, or the proposal basically was, can we have reports on the action plan more frequently than once a year? Was that the question?
I think that was the first
question. That was the
question.
First question, yeah. And the question is, have we got...
We'll put that question to the officers.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure the answer is going to be yes.
Right, okay. Yeah, is that your understanding, James?
Yeah, just to clarify, you know, I'm here to support the committee. You know, I can't speak for the operational managers in terms of their departments. All I was trying to indicate there is that we've got an item later on the agenda which talks specifically about work programming and what questions we want to do as a committee. So some of these questions are really valid, really important questions. They're not necessarily ones that can be answered here today in this meeting, but there are things that we should be looking at as a group to you know, to get the best from what we do as a committee over the course of this year.
Okay. Yes, Councillor Huckabee, yes, please. Mike on, please. Mike.
Good idea, really. This is a scrutiny committee, and I read scrutiny to mean that the cabinet lead on this particular subject is responsible for the direction that East Staffs Council is going to go in, and our job is to ensure that direction is the correct one.
Right.
In the sense of it's got targets and it's got a pathway. Our job is to look at the targets, to analyse those, to see whether or not they're correctly done, in our opinion, and to see whether the path leads to them in the time laid down for those objectives.
Okay.
More than that, though, I think we have to... We have to stay on what is a global direction. There are a lot of organisations now in the field of producing data, producing information, and putting these into the public domain. I don't think we should go into creating our own ideas, because then we leave the van of public opinion and disappear into the woods on something different.
Yeah, okay, yeah, thank you. Yes, please.
Well, the first answer, I'm in a bit of a disagreement there, because I think we should have our own ideas. But I agree with you, there's no point.
Start
again. I think we should have our own ideas, but I guess what you're getting at is we shouldn't be reinventing the wheel. If it's out there already, let's use it. Yeah, quite right.
Yeah, I'm forgive me, I think there's nothing to stop us using outside information as well, is there? There's nothing. I mean, I don't think these things are mutually incompatible, are they? I mean, we've got a council plan, which quite rightly we need to, and anything you hold you to scrutiny for that. But I mean, we can still draw in from the outside world as well, and quite rightly so. Mm. Yes.
Following up on that, my definition of what our role is, taking Bev's comment about the Labour election manifesto, where it talks about going into copying a place down in London or using that as a template for production, what have you. I think we have to be careful there. From the investigations I've done, solar panels seems to be their main option. The solar panels were expensive, really expensive, but for the fact the government put a lot of grants into them. So the cost of them, regardless of whatever they do, is up there. And the only thing that's justified it recently is the expense in the increased expenditure in energy costs. So that's made it look good. So people are jumping onto the bandwagon and having it done. But as we create more and more green energy, that will still remain up there because there's not much you can do with that cost. It is what, if they've got it down to what it is, but other, like the most productive, the most cheapest way of producing energy is windmills in the sea, air turbines in the sea. It beats it. The problem there is it's intermittent. So we have to look at this. And personally speaking, I think geothermal is starting to raise its head with regard to community heating and what have you. So, really, it's a point for officers.
Thank you. I think we're getting on to specifics now, which are very important.
Well, this is scrutiny.
Of course, yes. But I mean, the general principle that we can get ideas from outside and analyse the ideas here and have quarterly reviews is certainly a good one, isn't it, and one we should be going, yeah, but all these things.
I serve about all the time for ideas on this.
Yeah. Right. Any more comments? Yes, Councillor Gould, please, thank you.
Looking forward to the review and when that comes to us. I think that will help us as a committee get the focus
on it,
and the direction of where we want to go. Very happy to give ideas through to Dennis about various bits and pieces, and I wouldn't be doing a councillor who's not with us now. Obviously he stood down last time, but he wanted some something doing with the Trent, so we can harness the power of the Trent. Right. So I will put that forward for him and just say, if we're looking at various different options, not for now, and obviously I don't want to go into a huge discussion about this now, that we can perhaps put that forward and see what we can do at a later stage. Let's get the review done, let's see where we are with that, and then we can start to discuss where we can go from there.
Okie dokie. Thank you. Any comments in the corner there, please, ladies? Councillor, sorry. Any thoughts or opinions or any queries? I mean, there is no daft question. Please ask it. Councillor Holden. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I'm just looking at the agenda, and I think we've jumped on to item 9. I think if we could hear the performance report and then decide as a committee what we're going to be scrutinising. Because we seem to have already been scrutinising and decided on subjects and know this will come up at a later date. But if we can hear the performance report, please, Chair, and then go into the scrutiny review programme.
Thank you, Councillor Holton. Yes, sir. Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Let's right, people. So, where are we then? Thank you, Councillor Fletcher. That was very interesting. Thanks very much. Are you staying for the rest of the meeting? Please stay. Thank you very much. That's very kind of you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Okay. So we're now. So in order then, we're now going on to item 6, which is questions from the public. We were due until quite recently to have a member of the public sitting here with us. Unfortunately, she's very ill, she's ill rather, so she's not been able to come, but she has sent a written question, which I think you've all got a copy of. I'm going to read it out, if that's okay. Before I read it out, I'm going to say another few words. I think it's quite momentous that we have got people in the public who are interested to talk to us, and we should encourage this, and we need to, as Mick has already said, Councillor Cubby has already said, we've got to get input from everywhere, including, most importantly, our residents and the people we represent. So here we go. Questions to the public. To receive questions submitted by any citizen of the borough in accordance with part 3, is that 3.1, is it? 3.1e? 3i, I beg your pardon. 3ie of the Constitution. Questions must be received by 21st of July 2023, rather. Indeed they were. So, question for the Climate and Environment Scrutiny Committee. Here we go. Every river in the Trent catchment is affected by sewage spills. In 2022, there were 30,638 spills lasting over 1,555,000 hours. There were sewage spills throughout East Staffs Borough Council boundaries. These can be viewed on the Rivers Trust sewage map and will show from Mayfield to Yoxall and many places between are affected. Alongside agriculture, urban and industrial pollution, sewage has contributed to a reduction in the water quality and aquatic life and at times a risk factor to human health. The English water companies have promised to cut overflows by 140,000 a year by... Forgive me, I'll read it again, sorry. The English water companies have promised to cut overflows by 140,000 a year by 2030 from the 301,091 overflows in 2022. So they're reducing it by more than half, aren't they? They have been told they must improve, not prevent, all storm water overflows into designated bathing water by 2035. Much greater investment has been promised, but the task of improvement is vast, and the additional difficulties due to extreme weather events caused by climate change will probably take decades to solve. Here we go. Given the impossibility of a quick fix, what will ESBC do to play its part in reducing the pressure on the sewage systems? For example, reducing surface runoff in current and new developments with sustainable drainage solutions and permeable services, or using wetland floodplains and trees in appropriate places. ESBC might help by informing the public on how to avoid blockages in the sewer system caused by unflushables, discouraging the paving of front and rear gardens, or encourage the fitting of water butts to downpipes. The Environmental Health Agency has an extensive job in monitoring water quality, and those that enjoy rivers, for example, anglers and canoeists, could perhaps be encouraged in a citizen science project to assist with monitoring. Now, this question came to us in the given time.
It was also sent to me.
Oh, splendid. We've also got an answer received from the officers. We've also got a response from Councillor Hawkins. Is it Hawkins on here? Never mind, okay. We circulated, have we? Hawkins, it's Councillor Hawkins. You've got the letter from Councillor Hawkins, have you, everybody? So we've got, okay. Thank you. I'm going to ask, we'll do both, shall we? Dennis's response first, please.
The issue of reducing surface runoff in front of new developments by sustainable drainage solutions and permanent surface is an issue of planning policy. So, Councillor Hawkins is the right one to interpret it. That, however, I will certainly support any actions that could tackle that. There are developments already like Bramston Rocks where there are running water, which is remarkable. If that can be done, that would be great. Using wetland floodplains as a matter of the river, which is why I believe are already making strides towards that end. Tree planting in appropriate places is a priority for our Rural Spaces team, and a great deal has already been done, and much more will continue to be done. Certainly, we can and will inform the public of ways to avoid blockages in their sewage system. Well, I'll give you a
microphone, please. Leave it switched on.
We continue to try to discourage people from paving front and rear gardens, and we'll continue to educate on the reasons for this.
Thank you. Thank you. Open the floor. Yes, Councillor Cubby.
The ditching of sewage into our rivers is a knee-jerk reaction to the fact that the structure of our sewage discharge. Sorry, what am I doing wrong? All right.
With questions, you just it's just noted, and then if you want to ask further questions, then it goes on to, you know, because like I say, you'd be doing the review anyway, so you can.
Yeah, I apologise, but for being everywhere, the problem is that everything is interconnected and it's like spaghetti. Okay. You start off with one thing particular to focus on and you find out that it's interconnected with five other things, which all influence the answers you're going to give. So it's very difficult. I've forgotten what I was going to say now.
So basically you need to just about the answers then?
Runoff and impermeable surfaces and stuff like that. That's okay on new stuff. You can prevent that with technical answers and what have you. I worry about the places that have been there for 50 years, 60 years, 120 years, and the structure of the disposal there. Now, with climate change, the likelihood is that it's not going to rain every day, but when it does rain, it rains more intensely. And the question is whether or not the drainage system can cope with this extra flow, albeit for 2 or 3 hours or 4 hours or 5 hours. And the answer's there in front of us. It's not capable. It's not robust enough. Now, to find a way around that is incredibly expensive because effectively you've got to redrain the whole of East Staffordshire. So the question is, we need to be... Can we be precise enough in the effects of climate change to be able to develop answers, mitigating answers, whatever you want to call it, that do handle that? And the current observations are we can't. I say we because it encompasses all of us, not just some guy sitting at a desk thinking about this or that.
Thank you. Any more comments, please? Yes, Councillor Gould, thank you.
It's a pity that the resident who submitted this isn't here, because it would be up to her to say whether she accepts the answer or not, not for us to discuss it as an answer as such. We can use this perhaps in our part later as something we want to review. Looking at this, it's quite a nice answer to the question, and I'm sure that the resident will be happy with that answer. And I'll note that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. I mean, forgive me. I thought the lady had asked a question of the committee, so that's why I think we need to discuss it at least a little bit. I get the idea that we're going to get opinion from more expert people, perhaps. That's okay. And I didn't expect to get an answer as quickly as this. I've only had a chance to read this response from Councillor Hawkins very quickly, because it didn't arrive to me till 6:05. This evening, but has everybody else read the letter from Councillor Hawkins? No one's not seen it. You've all seen that, yeah. Well, in that case, then shall we? Forgive me. I think, does anybody else want to say any more about it at this stage about the issue of sewage in our rivers and flooding in general? Anyone want to say anything about it before we move on to the next item? Yes, thank you, Councillor.
Yeah, clearly it's a very, very important issue. Councillor Gould has already mentioned, it's a shame the individual wasn't here. I'm glad she has and will receive a response. And maybe this is another subject that we can, as a scrutiny committee, have a look at. I think it's one definitely for the committee to include going forward. And on this year.
Thank you. I do agree with you. But I want to give her some sooner response. So I can now say to her that we've discussed it, we've had responses, and the committee are have taken it seriously. That's what I think she's entitled to have, really. So I think just to say we've got a written response, we'll get back to you later on, isn't quite polite enough for me, really. And you're dead right. If she was here, then she'd hear our agonising, wouldn't she? Thank you. Right, so we'll discuss that as well a bit later on, perhaps, then. Okie dokie. So we're now moving on to... Oops, let me order, please. Forgive me. Questions. To receive questions... Now then, I will need some help with this, please. To receive any questions submitted by any member of the committee for answers by leader, cabinet members or officers of the council. Questions must be received by the 20th of July. Now, before we go on to this, I do need a bit of guidance because I've certainly written to various members of the council since I started in May, and I think everybody else has. So I'm not entirely sure I fully understand this process now. I'll go for the officer first.
Chair, in a very similar way to the questions from the public that we just heard in the last item, the Constitution provides for members of this committee to formally submit a question to be answered at this meeting.
Right.
At each committee, we haven't received any questions for this one, so I think that's that item sorted. I think.
Okay, thank you. Yes, Dennis. That's all you want to say. Okay. Okay. Right. Before we leave this topic, and I don't want to sort of, you know, rip up the entire committee rule book, but I can imagine some questions being of an urgent nature that members might want answering more quickly than just going through this committee. So by all means, if you want the chair to ask a question of anybody, then you can send it to me any time. I mean, my email is available 24 hours a day. You can always get me that way. I'll carry it around with me now. I've got an iPhone. Hush my mouth. So you can always do that. But if we want to make a formal record of it, then we will do it at the meetings that we have. But I think for saying we've all seemed to be of the opinion that climate change is very urgent. If there is a matter out there your constituents have that needs an answer and has got a climate edge to it, and I think that's probably most questions I suspect, then put it for the officers, send it to me if you want to as well, or get sent it to me and I send it to them. I don't mind, but it needs to be done urgently, doesn't it? So that's my take on this. Is everyone happy with that?
Yeah, I think everything you've said there is a normal process. So yeah, this is just specifically for this committee.
So this is this committee. Okie dokie. Rightio. Thank you. We can now, in that case, that was very quick. Thank you. So we can now go on to corporate plan performance, item 8. Corporate plan performance report, end of year 22-23. The programmes and transformation officer to report, and then invite questions from members. Straight discussion. Thank you. Over to Sean, please. Thank you, Sean.
Thank you, Chair. So this is the update for the end-of-year performance report for the last financial year of 22-23. The report reflects the changes that were made to the Cabinet structure during the penultimate week of Quarter 3 and reports based upon this structure. Please note that Appendix 1 will allow for all targets to be filtered by the current and previous portfolios. At the end of the year, performance across the Council's corporate targets has been strong, as referenced in this report and the attached appendices. There were 129 indicators in total for 3 corporate priorities. 120 resulted in green status, 1 resulted in amber, 7 in red, 1 target was deferred and 0 were deleted. Of the 128 live targets, 93.75 were green status, 0.78 in amber and 5.47 were red. If we were to take the approach of reporting all amber targets as red, this would give a year-end result of 93.75% in green and 6.25% in red. Paragraph 2.2 of the report, this reviews the leisure contract performance across the year and highlights the small number of actions which have been identified for ongoing review. This also highlights the red, amber, green status for the KPIs, in which 75 were green, 1 was amber and 2 were red. Table 1 at paragraph 5.2 provides a breakdown of the number of targets in each of the red, amber, green categories using the definitions described at paragraph 5.1, and this includes the agreed tolerances for the end of year reporting. Full performance information on all corporate indicators can be seen in Appendix 1. However, a summary of the percentage and number of performance indicators for each corporate priority and cabinet portfolio is shown at Table 2 a paragraph 5.4. Table 3, a paragraph 5.5, lists the 7 targets which have been highlighted as off-target and 1 target which is highlighted as partially met, with an update for each of these provided. Table 4, in paragraph 5.7, details the targets which have been proposed for approval post-outturn of the 2022-23 results. Section 6 of the report explains performance of the leisure services contract. Paragraph 6.2 references the ongoing monitoring issues which were mentioned previously, with full details contained within Appendix 3. There were 2 recommendations of this report. The first was to consider performance at the end of the 2022-23 financial year towards achieving the Council's corporate priorities and the leisure services contract. And the second was to agree the 23-24 targets for VFM 29C and VFM 01, which were detailed in Table 4 of the report. These were in light of a relatively higher sickness rate within the environment team. So in summary, performance across the corporate priorities last year was strong. It was over 93% of indicators identified as green. I'll pass back to the Chair for any questions.
Thank you, Sean. Any questions, members? Yes, Councillor Huckabee.
You just mentioned the sickness figures for the environment team. Does that include FinMet?
Yes. That will do.
We're talking about physical work involving what we would describe as dirty.
So that will include the waste team.
The incidence of sickness will be higher than, say, you sitting at a desk most of the day.
So the data that was reported would suggest that.
No.
So that was So that's been included.
I thought that was worth asking because it does indicate why those figures are the way they are.
If I may, Chair, just to add to that, every month an analysis is done of the sickness figures, and it looks at exactly those things. So it is the types of sickness as well as where those sicknesses are arising, whether it's long-term sickness, short-term sickness, etc., so that the management team can look at that and address it where it needs to be addressed.
Thank you. Any more questions, please? Anything anyone's not sure about in these documents? It was, Does take some reading and some studying, doesn't it? I must admit. No? Okie dokie, in that case then, we'll go on to item 9, scrutiny review programme. So it's been suggested then that our scrutiny review programme involves looking at getting the action plan reviewed on a quarterly basis, and looking at the question about water pollution that the question is sent in. Are there any other thoughts on those matters, or any discussions about any other items you think we should put in our work programme for the following year? Yes, Councillor Ashcroft, thank you.
Just following on from Janice, really, if we're looking at energy companies and public-owned energy companies and all the issues around those, I'd quite to consider looking at those.
Thank you. Anyone got any other points to add about that?
No, sorry, Chair. Is that okay for me to go?
Yes, please.
Not on that particular subject. I'd really like to pick up on Dennis's earlier presentation with regards to education in schools and how we deliver that, really, and if there was any scope for any of the councillors to shadow Dennis in Winsall. He did mention that he would be going into schools. I'd quite like to look at how we develop that programme, please, Chair.
Yeah. Committee. Okay. Any more? Anybody else?
Well,
I beg your pardon. Sorry. That's a good point. Thank you, Councillor Fletcher. Thank you.
What would be quite useful is if this is scrutinised, how involved the parish councils are, and how involved they want to be.
Okay. Thank you. Anybody else?
Well, just a point on that. one thing that's probably parish councils are aware of it, but probably not many other people, is that they have the ability to set their own precept. Yes. So wherever there's a need, they can raise it proportionately if they've explained themselves to their electorate as to why they need that money, which means that they can actually take on a bit of the heavy carrying that's going to be necessary. To think that you can have three levels or four levels of democracy, none of which speak to each other, or there seems to be these artificial barriers where people can't pick up phones and discuss things. I no doubt they do, but you know, it's a point that, yeah, it's very serious.
Yep. Thank you. I'm just thinking it's
Could I raise an issue on for review? Tree planting is quite a large, significant issue. Now, it raised its head at a previous induction meeting where we'd identified several thousand local species of trees. And I tried to make the point that with the changing climate, what is local, currently local, might well not survive in the future. So that's an area that needs a deeper analysis. I mean, I've spent 10 years in France and had a fair few walnut trees. Many of those walnut trees are starting to suffer because of the heat. It might be walnut trees moved to here. Apple trees might move to Scotland. That sort of scenario.
Okay. Okie dokie. Any other suggestions? Yes, Councillor Ashcroft.
Just following off from Councillor Huckabee, that's going to be quite difficult because obviously working on the climate change and the figures and everything, you're not going to know what's going to happen 1 month to the next. So that's going to be really difficult to analyse what tree is going to survive this week, and then in 2 months' time, 3 months' time, or even a year, that's going to be completely different. So what you plant at that particular moment in time, we've got an expert, as Dennis knows, in the cemetery and the greenhouse anyway, who knows all this stuff. So I'd be tempted to think that would be quite difficult to work through.
That's a simple question. All the stuff that they're bought, you mentioned.
Yeah, there are higher authorities, you might say, Forestry Commission, places like that. You can go for more detailed answers.
Yes, Councillor Gold, yes.
Can I make a suggestion? If we've got a need for, let's say, the Forestry Commission, perhaps we can invite them to our committee and we can ask them the question. Mm-hmm. Rather than starting off a review, we can ask them to come in and present something to us on how prepared they are for climate change, and that might inform us for a direction we can take.
Yeah. Okay. Any more comments or thoughts about the work programme?
Yeah, I've got another one. Sorry about this.
No, carry on.
What we hear, the background noise, is always about increase in heat and its effects. But there is a converse to that, or a repercussion to the increase in heat. If we take specifically the Greenland ice sheet, it's melting at a far more rapid rate than it was 10 years ago. And as a consequence, the soft water, fresh water, is pushing the Gulf Stream further south. Now it's the Gulf Stream which warms the air over the British Isles in the winter time and prevents the Siberian cold winds from pushing their way in. Now, as the Gulf Stream goes further south, that barrier reduces. Last year it was evident where we had two beasts from the east. Now, part of the election manifesto for the Labour Party is about the insulation of houses, and we're going to derive the finance from the creation of this private energy company or a municipal energy company. I don't think we have the time because I live in an area where the houses were built 120 years ago and were never, ever designed to resist the cold in the sense that modern houses are. So if we're going to be serious about insulating houses, we have to pay regard to the beast from the east, which is becoming even more prominent or prevalent. And so what areas are we going to do? It's okay changing the building regs to account for this thing, but many of the houses in Burton, in Old Burton, probably 6,000-7,000 of them, are single skinned and are not designed to resist. Now I know there's an answer that's been used already where we're insulating the outer skin of the house. You can see them down Uxbury Street where they put these false brickwork walls to insulate, but that traps in damp into the house because the way they were designed was to open the windows to allow dry air to come in and or waft about and take the damp air out. So this is another technical issue which needs a bit of thought about. And reference to the beast from the east, as they comically call it, but it's not so comical if you happen to be in a cold house. We have to draw the connections. So I'd make that point. That's an issue that needs developing.
Right. Okay.
Purely personal.
Yes, Councillor Marshall.
I agree, but I think that's more planning issues or health and well-being. I think that's more of a planning thing that we shouldn't be scrutinising. It's got to go to planning, not us.
Right. I'm going to agree with you and disagree with you at the same time, if I may. I know it's a contradiction. We can certainly put an input to them, can't we? We can certainly, as chair, I can write to the planning committee and suggest they look at this and say we're doing this, you know. And because, as I said earlier, the climate issue involves all aspects of our lives, doesn't it? And certainly all committees, you know, all council work. So I mean, I sit on the planning committee, and I could stand. How can I do it? I can't have a general policy going about it, but certainly shopping myself into predetermination or bias about particular issues, certainly the documents that the applicants refer to is something that we can discuss in planning committee, I understand, and quite rightly so. I don't think we should necessarily leave anything just to them. If we think we can add value to the aim of reducing CO2 emissions and ameliorating the climate changes which are going to happen, then I think it's worth us doing that, and encouraging the other committees and the other departments in the council to do the same. Does that sound okay?
What he's trying to do is suggest that you express an interest and ask them to look into it because this is a concern that we have.
It doesn't stop us looking into it, I don't think. And certainly, if we're going to try and influence policy over here, then it doesn't stop us looking into that, does it? And we could certainly call the regeneration cabinet member in, can't we, to discuss building regulations. Yes, Councillor Fletcher.
When you do it, what you realise is somebody you can get your teeth into.
Yeah.
I think that will once you've had the action plan review and the report back on it.
Yeah. Okay. Any more suggestions for a work programme? Yes. Councillor Bailey.
Just something that's been omitted here, and it's minimising waste and pollution, especially the waste management. Can we scrutinise that?
I'm sorry, I missed the last bit. Sorry, Adriana.
Can we look into the waste management and scrutinise that as well?
Waste management?
Yeah.
Yes.
Especially in terms of...
carry on, Mr. Bailey. Yeah. Explain further.
Using the recycling technologies, that's what I mean. Because some of the recycling technologies actually majority of them are not really eco-friendly. Mm. I mean, I don't think that ESBC uses not eco-friendly technologies, but, you know, I think that would be worth looking at.
Okay. Thank you. Any other comments? I mean, we did have somewhere in the documents we sent online. We were given performance reviews, weren't we, of the council's recycling targets, and we're in the lower quartile, aren't we, for all those, aren't we? So certainly, the council needs to improve those, improve its composting and recycling capacity, doesn't it? So that's certainly a valid point of something we should scrutinise.
Yeah, but I mean more about using energy or the kind of energy that can be generated in the process of recycling.
Right.
And how this can be reused or redistributed.
Right, okie dokie. Something we could perhaps investigate. I don't think we've got it. We haven't got any. We don't actually do any energy product recycling ourselves, do we, James? We collect it and send it off, don't we?
In a nutshell, yes. I think it's worth asking some questions on that. But I think it might be worth saying as well that in the last 12 months or so, two of the previous scrutiny committees have done reviews into waste management, and I have an idea. We'll have to go back and double check, but that question around where the received recyclables is taken to and what is done with that subsequently,
yes,
I think was a question that was answered in one of those. We'll have to double check, but that's just one to bear in mind, that waste management has been done as a joint review over two committees quite recently. So just thinking that because we've got quite a large work programme, a lot of ideas, you know, not saying no, obviously, but that's one that I think just it might be worth double checking what the output of that review was, because we don't want to, you know, duplicate if it has already been dealt with. But that's something we can certainly look at.
Right, yeah, okie dokie. Thank you.
So I think in terms of the, if I may, Chair, you know, the purpose of this item really is then to understand what we do and in what order. There's a number of really, really interesting ideas on the list there, isn't there?
Yes, I mean, forgive me, I've got my own as well. I was going to run past people. I'm sorry. I'll do it very quickly. First of all, I'm grateful everyone's got such an input. I thought I was going to struggle really to get people to talk to me about this, but thank you very much for all your inputs. It's really interesting. I'm glad everyone's paying attention and has got good ideas. Right, my suggestion for a work programme for something to investigate was specific, bearing in mind, I listened to Sharon Walker's presentation last week, and the second highest CO2 emitting cause in East Staffordshire was domestic properties. Okay, so traffic was judged to be the highest. I don't think we can do a great deal about. We can certainly work on traffic. It's important. Vehicle emissions are very important, but a lot of vehicles sort of run past us. But in terms of making a difference, I thought to CO2 emissions and in helping people to be healthy and saving people money. I really thought something on retrofitting insulation to domestic properties would be a good idea. I know Mick's not so sure, but certainly we could investigate it, couldn't we? So I was going to suggest the committee investigates strategies for retrofitting insulation on domestic properties across ESBC. This is the most straightforward way, I think, of tackling local CO2 emissions and addressing rising energy prices and helping residents to live in houses that are warm in winter and cooler in summer. I have direct experience of this. I was fortunate enough to have my detached house cladded with 4 inches of insulation a few years ago, and it's made a vast difference. We don't live in a drafty house here longer. We are warmer in the winter, we are cooler in the summer. We haven't got any damp issues in our house. Admittedly, I'm on a bit of a hill. Maybe I'm not fortunate in that space. I have come across information for a non-for-profit loan provider that seems to loan out council money to residents to pay for improvements. So obviously there has to be a fund, doesn't there? But it wouldn't. It's not something that would involve a great cost to council, I understand. It would involve them using some a fund to loan to residents to do this retrofitting. And I'm thinking the council could perhaps engage with this body and also compile a list of locally approved contractors, again keeping trying to keep the expenditure of money in the community wealth building. I know that not too long ago Trent and Dove did a lot of external installation to their properties and presumably save costs by doing it at scale, and these would be 1930s 1935 type houses, wouldn't they, on the older council estates. So that was something I thought that would make a big impact on CO2 emissions, but forgive me, James. We have made a lot of suggestions, haven't we? Some of these things I think could perhaps be answered by could be addressed by giving an answer to a question, couldn't they? Really. So maybe some of these matters, such as the waste management one we've just discussed, and where else were we? Let me get to it. And maybe to a point, the tree planting. We could get an answer, couldn't we, by asking the relevant officers and people a question. Forgive me, James. Yes, Councillor Huckabee.
I think we have to be careful of not replicating work that is done. Once again, we are a scrutiny committee, so we should be scrutinising the work that Dennis's team does, that Councillor Hawkins' team does, and what have you. We have to hopefully understand that the work they're doing and the work the officers are doing for them is going to be nearly correct. I mean, it might miss by a little bit or whatever, but we've got to really understand that the work is done. Now, our job is to scrutinise that work and to point out where we find fault or we find that it's not. The targets aren't good enough. I mean, I could comment, say, on the 100% completion of projects from the previous corporate plan. Sounds like it was too easy to me. You know, there's not enough there that we've failed to achieve. Were the targets set far enough? Now, especially on climate change, you can't set them, really, because it's such a fast-changing situation. So we've got to be careful that we're not doubling up. We can call experts to submit to us information on the basis of what, say, Dennis has submitted to us, but I don't necessarily think that we should cover the same ground all the time. Obviously we have to be competent in understanding the ground that's been covered, and that is our own personal intelligence, I guess, and hard work put into that being on this committee. I'm just making the point that we are a scrutiny and not a policy deciding or generating group.
No, but we are part of our role, forgive me if I'm wrong, is to suggest policy, isn't it, or push people. So I think that's the purpose, I believe, of the review programme, unless I've got that wrong. Yes, James. Carry on now.
Yeah, just to say, you're absolutely right, Chair. Well, both councillors are absolutely right. So it's the three sort of key purposes of a scrutiny committee, which they're all laid out in the constitution. But it is about monitoring performance. It is about scrutinising and reviewing issues and service delivery and activities. But it is around discussing and advising on service policy as well. Certainly, where there's a piece of work that's ongoing. Potentially, that can be fed in, information or advice could be fed into a process. So, I think we can look at it. It will depend on the subject matter of this or the particular review. It depends on the nuance of what we want as a committee to get from that. Whether it is something that we can feed in towards a policy development, or whether it is a scrutiny or a challenge to a decision that's been made or a piece of work that's been delivered or is in the process of being delivered. So. It depends on the nuance of exactly what we want to do. So I think as you've touched on there, Chair, some really good ideas. There's a good long list of things to do. So I don't think we're going to be, as we saw from the outset, we're not going to be short of things to do this year, are we? So there's a lot to think about, and I'm just sort of reviewing the list and thinking out loud. So forgive me, Chair. It's a lot to take in, but there are a couple on the list there that, you know, I think members of the committee have touched on could be, you know, I don't like the phrase quick win, but, you know, that kind of approach. So, you know, the tree planting, you know, there's a suggestion that maybe we have somebody to come in to talk to us about that, whether it be the Forestry Commission or council, relevant council offices. That could be something that is done through a conversation, a presentation to the committee, rather than an ongoing piece of work. So that's not to say that can't be done. I think that's one that what we could do. Perhaps something on the climate change action plan could be started off in the same sort of way. So if we're looking at getting regular updates on the climate change action plan, perhaps that could be something that we could at least start off with a presentation from the relevant offices and relevant cabinet member. You know, sometimes it's helpful to have something to anchor each of the meetings, a focal point at each of the meetings that we have. So there's a couple of ideas. Just, you know, we could get those dealt with reasonably quickly, and hopefully they become, you know, some really great recommendations can come off the back of those two things, and potentially inform us where we go next with other pieces of work. And then maybe let's think about what's left on the list for one or maybe two reviews that might be a little bit more meaty, something that we can deliver on an ongoing basis, which would end up in a formal report to cabinet over the course of this financial year. You know, there is a lot on the list. Maybe one or two items to start off with would be good. So I think it's up to the committee as to which ones we want to sort of prioritise, if that's the right word. I know all of this is a priority, but which ones do we take forward initially?
Thank you. That's good. That's sensible. Right. So if we take James's suggestions, then we start with climate action plan and the tree planting by inviting speakers in to give us more information and expert opinion about that. Yeah, and forgive me, the same with the waste management issue. Do we do the same with that? You think that's already on?
I think what I can do for the committee, Chair, is I can go back to the previous reviews, the previous scrutiny reviews that have been completed. I think, as I say, they were in the last 12 or 18 months that they were delivered, and I can share that. I can share that with the committee, and that's, you know, a starting point for, you know, we can look at that. We can maybe there's a piece around, have the recommendations from those been picked up? Has that review satisfied the queries that we've got here and now today as this committee? And then we add it onto the review list if we still think we would like to do that. So I'm happy to take that as an action for myself.
Yes, thank you. Okay. So the other issues we raised then were about the Municipal Energy Company, education in schools, involvement of parish councils, insulation for houses. Is that the four? Sorry, Councillor Gould, yes, please.
I was just going to say, if we start off and plan in when we can get our speakers in, perhaps we can circulate that list of ideas, and we can perhaps then go away, do our own research, get some questions around those points to bring to the next meeting, and then we can flesh out what we actually want to achieve. So yes, if we can try and get this bit done, circulate our ideas, because I think it's going to be quite difficult to try and get to the nitty-gritty. By that point, we'll have the climate plan review, so we'll have that we can focus on as well. Not to say that anything else we've discussed is irrelevant, but I think that will then give us some idea as to which areas we might want to go off in, rather than try and pick the bones of it now, because it's quite...
I'm very grateful.
That's quite open, isn't it?
It is. That's an excellent idea, yes. Anybody else any thoughts about that? That sounds splendid to me. Thank you very much, Vicky. Councillor Gould, sorry. Anybody else? No? Okay, so... Right, that's a starting point, isn't it? That's good then, thank you. Okie dokie, right. Let's move on to... where are we now? So that was... thank you, very sorry. Item 10... public executive decision records to note the EDRs which have been submitted for information and invite any questions. Enclosure 2. Have we all got enclosure 2?
So if I may, Chair, yes, there's been a document circulated to the committee with a list of the relevant executive decisions been taken since the last committee meeting. So it's, if there are any questions, we're happy to either take those or take those away.
Thank you. Any questions, councillors, about executive decisions we've got down here, all to do with electric charging points, statement of intent, and climate change communication engagement plan? Any questions or any comments? No? Thank you. Rightio. Hang on, let me write this down so I don't know what I'm doing. Where are we? We're in 1950. Right. So I'm going to talk about item 11 now, which is the date of the next meeting. So that's 11th of September 2023. Everyone's happy with that? Well, it's the 11th of September 2023. Just, sorry, it's 11th of September. 2023. Yeah. Right, and then there's a gap here. It says that in accordance with section 100, brackets A, brackets 4 of the Local Government Act, 1972, press and public are excluded. Well, do I have to read this out? Not here, or the press and public? I'll better read it out then. Okay, press and public are excluded. Obviously, I beg your pardon, yes. Sorry. Please forgive me, thank you. As in accordance with section 100, brackets A, brackets 4 of the Local Government Act 1972, the press and public to be excluded from this remainder of the meeting as it is likely, in view of the nature of the business to be transacted or the nature of proceedings, that there would be exempt information as defined in the paragraphs part 1 of schedule 12A of the Act, indicated in brackets before each item number on the agenda. Thank you.